back.
Yeah. Well,
welcome back.
Why are we saying welcome back to them?
Because it's been like 5 months that we put anything
they
out.
Don't know that.
The movie magic.
They could just be listening to this after the last one and it might not be 5 months.
Whatever. We had a break.
We had a break. Good break.
Welcome back to the Cosa Nostra.
Welcome back to...
I'm Eddie.
I'm Noah.
If you forgot.
Yeah.
Today we're covering James Gunn's 2025 Superman.
Is this like the most recent... This is the most recent...
Probably the most recent movie we've done.
Because it came out like...
Straight out of it.
Last month.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I would say... Normally we do like, what's your history with the movie? But how...
There's not really much history.
I remember hearing about this movie. It had an original title of like Superman like Rebirth or something like
that. Yeah, it's like Superman Rebirth or something like that. And the idea sounded like they were going to carry on from the DCEU. Obviously not now. James Gunn, big fan of. He's got his great creative control, and I can't wait to see what he does.
I don't know what happened to the DCEU because they
got awful.
It would probably take me like another podcast again to everything that went down with the DCEU and the DCU and how that completely just.
It imploded.
Was not mapped out properly.
Yeah, it was too much. I think what's interesting with, kind of we're skipping around here, but what's interesting with what James Gunn is trying to do with the DCU versus what he's trying to do with what they did with Marvel Universe, which obviously he worked in with the Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy, which
Then they went over and made the Suicide Squad one of the best superhero movies, and they're like, oh, please come back.
I would say that The Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy is one of the best trilogies in Marvel history.
Definitely. No, the best one. It is the best one.
Well, it's arguably got the best movie. In my opinion, Vol 3 is the best Marvel movie ever made, but whatever.
That's fair. No, nobody's going to come up with
that. That's fair enough.
That's a good point.
I would say what he's trying to do, and he's talked about doing, is doing film to film and letting each character develop as a film character instead of what Marvel does, which is these phases where they make the movies fit into what they do. And it means... that essentially they're going to try and organically feel what this character looks like, which is something you feel when you watch Guardians of the Galaxy movies. You see this rise and fall of Chris Pratt's Star-Lord. You see Rocket, Raccoon, you explore him. You know, the loss of Gamora, like all of this stuff is like...
Star-Lord's, you know, like thing with ego and like that.
Yeah, it's like a proper exploration of character.
Yeah.
And I think that is the best way to describe this movie for Superman. It is an exploration of the character and what he means to people.
Yes. But, okay,
to
so
an
like,
extent.
It's like, have you seen any other Superman movie?
I saw Man of Steel, and I know quite well of Christopher Reeves.
Yeah, so...
Obviously, Christopher Reeves is the icon, right? He is the Superman.
It's like
He's
Superman...
He's the Tobey Maguire of Superman.
Yes, and that's a really good comparison, because...
Films are similar.
I feel that, like, so, like, Superman, it's a little weird when it comes to, like, movies, and it's weirder than Batman, because it's like... It doesn't...
Because he doesn't have... Think about Superman is he doesn't have like a discernible vibe to him.
Yes.
I mean. Because
everybody has their own interpretation.
Yes,
unlike Batman where like... No matter if you're looking at like Burton's or Christopher Nolan's...
He's gritty and he's dark.
You get that gist.
He's relentless.
With Superman, it's a little different.
Because in some comics, he's, you know, as ruthless as Batman, if not more. And he's borderline evil.
But I feel like you can get away with that in comics.
Like in Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah.
And then when you look... Well, not Fallen Kingdom, that's the Jurassic
Park. That's a Jurassic Park.
Fallen something or other. I can't remember what it's called. Fallen League or something. And then you have the other end of the spectrum with the newer comics where he's this symbol of hope and there's this great scene in the movie.
What's the comic that this one is inspired by?
Is Superman...
All-Star Superman.
Also, obviously, they took a lot of inspiration from Christopher Reeve and you can see that.
Yeah.
And also, he voiced... The actor said that he used a lot of Smallville Superman as
kind of
thing. And the animated version of All-Star Superman, there was an animated show.
Yeah, was it a movie or show? I can't remember.
I think it was a movie or a show.
Let me check.
But he created, he based his character around idea of the like difference. Yeah. And I will say, compared to Man of Steel, you know, there's this meme of like, he only has glasses and that's all that stops him. I don't think I would like join the dots if I was in that universe and I didn't already know. Like they are discernibly different, but enough that you're not like ridiculous. But like the hair is a lot different because he's got naturally very wavy hair.
Yeah.
The gloss and also the way he carries himself, I think, as an actor is very clever.
Yeah, it's very
that
good.
He's like meeker when he's Clark.
I buy it. I really do. But it's the kind of thing where like Superman movies actually surprisingly have not been as successful as Batman movies.
No, because I think it's hard to nail him.
It's that's a good point. But like, okay, you've got the Christopher Reeve ones. Those ones, and obviously in the past, you had like the serials and the Fleischer cartoons and stuff like that. But with the Christopher Reeve ones, the first two are actually very successful. The next three aren't. The next two aren't. And then you had the kind of thing where Tim Burton tried to make one with Nicolas Cage that you can still find online.
Yeah.
And then you had Superman Returns in 2006, which was not successful. And then you had Man of Steel in 2013.
Man of Steel, I think a lot of
was successful.
Was successful, but
took a lot from the Nolan trilogy.
I think there was that period of time, and you feel it with Amazing Spider-Man, and you feel it with the Batman movies, and you can feel it with the Superman films, and there's this like desire to be too gritty.
That and was the thing I liked most about this movie. There was this period, and I think it was a period of exactly 20 years between, you know, coming after stuff like Batman and Robin, where like superhero movies were seen as just schlock and silly, with Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins in 2005, all the way through into the 2020s with this, it was about being gritty. You see it with the Nolan trilogy. You see that with Man of Steel. You see that with Amazing Spider-Man. You see that with Justice League. It was all about being gritty and serious and making superhero movies serious. And for a couple of superhero movies, that's fine. But when every single superhero movie is trying to be gritty and dark, and
it doesn't, because
it really lost me. And that's why so many people have gone back to the past to go say, hey, how bad was Batman and Robin? Is it really that bad? Because people are going back and seeing, going back to a different era where it was like kind of silly and stuff like that. And people got bored of it. That's what I'm trying to say.
I would say yes, because it's 20 years of just the same stuff. Although I think it fits some characters better than others.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a huge fan of the Amazing Spider-Man trilogy, as both of you, well, two of them. It should be a trilogy. It feels like it should be. I personally, yes. A lot of people hate them.
I don't hate them.
I see why.
I just find them really boring. I think it fits the character
to an extent, to a way that works for me. But I think for a guy like Superman, who in my opinion is supposed to be like a symbol of hope, and if you look at the Christopher Reeve movies, he's colourful. And even if you like, you look at Christopher Reeve as a man, he is Superman.
R.I.P.
Like, he looks like him. There's these stories of him like grabbing robbers by the shirt and like slamming them onto cars. Like he is
Superman.
He is an embodiment and he's an activist.
I feel David Corn Sweat is like the closest we've ever gone to someone like Christopher
Reeve. There's like scarily close. I've seen like these things. They went to the same high school, the same drama school.
Really?
It's like very similar. And when you look at him, he's this big guy. With, you know, he looks like Superman, he acts like Superman. And what I think worked in this movie that they haven't really done for a long time is you look at the Christopher Reeve movies and he's got these corny like sayings of like geez and good gracious, and he doesn't like swear.
That's what I like.
And you look at James Gunn and he's gone back to that. And in a way that, you know, it doesn't feel forced because he's a farm kid from another planet who, you know, grew up on.
It's got that same vibe.
It feels right.
It's got that same vibe of like the Superman movies of Superman 1 and 2 from the 70s and 80s and the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy.
Yes.
Where, okay, let's just say the first two of that trilogy.
Yeah.
It's corny, yes. The third one is very corny and probably goes a little too far with the corn. But the first, they're very corny, but it's sincere, okay? There's no cynicism in it.
Yeah.
It feels like it's really genuine, you know. The acting is so genuine. Everybody really embodies the characters. Okay, there's none of that 2010 cynicism that I just got too much of. Like, actually, after I saw the Superman, we went on holiday and we were in a hotel, and one of the movies that they were showing on the on a channel was Batman vs Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Oh, that's awful.
And it was like,
it's awful. The Lex Luthor in that.
Lex Luthor, I
personally quite like that.
It was actually really funny when me and my sister were watching it, and she was like, oh, where's Lex Luthor? And I literally pointed at the screen, oh no, Jesse Eisenberg is Lex Luthor.
Why is Mark Zuckerberg playing Lex Luthor?
It's such an odd choice. What? And it was like,
but I think it's not even that the actor choice was weird. It was the way they made him look just wasn't anything like Lex Luthor. He had hair, for one, until like the last thing of the movie. And then
Gene Hackman wore a bald cap. Yeah, that's it.
I think a lot of people don't like kind of understand is that a lot of the time in bad movies, it's not necessarily the actor's fault that their performance is bad, because they've been directed to do something.
Jesse Eisenberg isn't a bad actor. I haven't seen a real pain. Yeah, I haven't seen a real pain, but
when you look at him in like Zombieland and stuff, he's a funny guy.
He's good in The Social Network.
In The Social Network, he's a villain. He definitely had the ability to play Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
He'd just been directed to be this kind
of... That Mark Zuckerberg thing would have gone great with Lex Luthor, I'm going to be honest.
That scene, that scene where Andrew Garfield crashes out on him and he's just watching him.
That's a good vibe. It's I don't know what went wrong. It was the studio. In my opinion, it was probably the studio.
It was like in The Amazing Spider-Man, the second movie. The studio wanted it to fulfill certain things. And that's, to get back,
but
it's what they didn't do on Superman. They let...
James, I just want to say with that movie, it's not a good sign when Gal Gadot is your best actor in the movie.
Yeah.
It is generally not a good sign.
But you look at they gave James Gunn the space, and when he has space, he does his best work. And I think what's important about this movie that really makes it Superman, and a lot of people feeling inspired and like it's a modern take and it, you know, is relevant, even though it's doing a lot of what Christopher Reeve did.
We haven't seen that in such a long time.
50 odd years ago, is what Christopher Reeve did a bit, is that he is commenting on social injustices in the world.
Oh my God. How many times did I see people online going...
Which is true.
Jesus. I'm like, my God. Like, oh, they made Superman an illegal alien.
No, but
he's damn woke.
But it is a bit the Israel-Palestine scenario with the thing of the overtaking. But it doesn't do it in a way that's offensive to anyone.
It's not
rude. He just uses that.
And it's not even like it's the main plot of the damn...
It's not even supposed to be something important.
Yeah.
But framing that kind of conflict that we've heard about and we all like know about without even like putting any connectors, in our mind that makes, you know, Superman is linked to the real world for us. Mm. And when you see this kid like lifting up the Superman...
Oh my God. That's what I'm saying.
Amazing.
I just want to say, Superman is just one of those movies that... It is so much better when you watch in the cinema.
Yeah, it's so
watching that scene where the kid puts up the flag and Superman is like, I think he saves like the woman from like the building that's falling down, and out of the mist he comes out, and with that John Williams,
three moments where he's just, well, four, where he's just the epitome of like Superman.
This is just like
the music. There's just the scene with the big, like, ugly monster, and he goes, "Hey, buddy, look up!" And then he flies up. Awesome. Then there's
didn't like that ugly CGI baby though. I did not.
That
like
was
kind of
weird.
Baby.
And then he does the scene where, you know, where he saves the girl. There's the flag scene. Then there's his,
it's that symbol of hope.
There's this "I'm human" scene, which is one of the best written things in like cinema so far.
Is that the bit where he's talking to,
excluding sinners, which is like perfectly written, even as like a guy who shouldn't, like, it's amazing. I think that is one of the best scenes that has come out of cinema this year.
Yeah, definitely.
He's talking to Lex Luthor. He's like, "You're a no good alien."
Not before like the scene where Lex Luthor is just like
gets absolutely total,
absolutely loses it, and it's like the absolute fixation this guy has on this one guy. I've never seen hatred incarnate like this.
He orchestrated a global war
just so he
had a logical reason
guy
to kill Superman. That is like all he did.
Hater. That's
the
biggest
epitome of hating.
Oh my God. Okay, what doesn't work about this movie for me is that I feel that, one, as much as I love the punk rock scene
as well.
Okay, that's actually going to go into one of my problems. It's like, as much as I love the Guardians trilogy, there's some bits of that trilogy does not fit a Superman movie.
I don't think he really... The only thing...
That bit at the end, he starts with that punk rock song that gets played at the end, I was kind of jarred out because I was like, wait, what is this? I thought I was watching a Superman movie. I didn't realize I was watching like the goddamn like Suicide Squad or something.
Because that's James Gunn's stamp.
He's
known for his color, right? And it's like,
which I love.
But he is also, you know, flexing his incredibly good music taste.
And for a Guardians movie, is great. I love that.
The one thing with that scene with Punk Rocker that I don't think a lot of people kind of get is that Superman references that band.
Yeah, I know.
50 minutes earlier.
When he's in his room.
He talks about the Teddy Bears.
Yeah.
That band is the Teddy Bears, which is
a relatively unknown
bizarre punk. And I think the reason he put that in there more than it's his stamp is that it's something that connects him to like the humanity of his parents,
true.
And that's why it's connected there compared to when he's with his in the first scene where he sees his parents, which is more like John Williams' score. It's kind of more human, if you want.
I really felt that, like, at the end of the movie, where they were, like, doing the kind of thing with, like, oh, they played that song at the end. I was just thinking, this is not how a Superman movie ends. It ends with him, I don't know, flying up or, like, I don't know, like, something like that. Not him listening to punk rock. And it's, like, something like that. I love that in a Guardians movie. That's one of the reasons why those movies are so amazing, because it has James Gunn's personal stamp. That is his personal stamp. But sometimes you don't need that. And some of the kind of Guardians of the Galaxy-ish dialogue doesn't work in a Superman movie for me.
I think it's kind of framed so that it doesn't feel weird when he then puts it in when the Justice League eventually turns up. Because when you look at the way that the dialogue is done for Green Gardener, who, by the way, like, Green Lantern was written perfectly. The scene where he's, like, flipping the tanks away and he's just flipping them off, like, with the
Well, one of the big ways, like, he's, like, talking about the name of the team.
He's like, we're going to call it the Justice Gang. And they're like, no, that's a terrible name. And then at the end, he's like, no. And he's like, what do you think of the name of the Justice Gang? And he's like, I love that name. You're in. You're in the team. And he's so well written. And then with, you know, Hawk Girl, I think she's called.
How she just murders the president of, like, just, like, so throws him out of building.
And there's still this, like, slightly slapstick comedian of when Lex Luthor gets totaled by a white dog that just comes into the
window. Yeah, and it just, like, destroys him. Like,
steamrolls him into, like, a wall.
You haven't seen that in a long time.
And then
time.
Superman just pulls out one of the hardest monologues of the year.
Oh, my God, it goes so hard.
And then Lex Luthor, the scene where he's like, where's the dog, Lex? And he's drinking his coffee and he's dog with a stupid
He's killing him with, like, the kryptonite?
He's making fun of it. Yeah, like, and also that scene with the kryptonite for a film that's colourful was cleverly
done. He's the MVP.
Dark.
He's the MVP of, it, like, the so whole well movie. Done. Lex Luthor.
He's, like, he's got this, like, acid coming into him and, like, kryptonite.
How
is, like,
he murders the guy?
You know? Yeah, that scene. You get the guy. I'm like, oh, it's a kid's superhero movie. Fine. This random guy who was nice to Superman turns up. Lex Luthor plays Russian roulette with him.
Yeah.
To answer Superman, and he just shoots him through the face. On a movie. I was there with my little sister. I was like, wow.
That hater mentality. No Lex Luthor.
And yet it works.
I
would think it doesn't fit the movie. I think it does.
Another problem I had with movies, and these are really the two main ones, but they're two really big ones that do drag this movie down a bit. This movie just throws us into the Superman world. And just, like, okay, you guys already know who Superman is. We don't need to explain to you about anything. Go, 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 go.
That is intentional.
They send us right in, and it's like, okay, there's a right and a wrong way to do it. As I don't really like this movie that much. I like it, but I don't really like it that much. But Spider-Man Homecoming does the same kind of thing, where it's like, they don't give us the origin story that Amazing Spider-Man did and the original Sam Raimi ones did. But they drop us into the world. And somehow it feels a little more organic than, like...
Although I would say the intro scene is very cool, where you get this, like, everything is a four. It's like four decades ago, 4 years ago.
We just get, a solid, like, 30 years of Superman lore put into four sentences. And I'm like, okay,
well, I think that's
I feel
important.
Like I've missed a little. And when I was watching the movie, I was like, this would be a perfect movie if it was a sequel to a movie to, like, if this was, like, a Superman 2, I would be fine. But this is Superman 1. And I'm like, okay, you're doing all this. What are you going to do for the sequel now? You've shot your shot so
early. I think the point
early.
Is that, the point is he's creating a movie about each hero. While he says he's thinking about it organically, he is thinking about the other characters. And the idea is you have this big intro of Superman so that then, say they do a Green Lantern movie, he can have Superman turn up in a way that feels like organic.
And then
the
what's
series.
Next? Supergirl?
Supergirl. He can turn up in that and you don't have to have Superman as much because he's already been established really strongly.
I just felt that it would have been nice to have a little... Like, Ma and Pa Kent are in the movie for, like, 3 minutes?
They were so cool in that movie, though.
They were cool, but they're in it for, like, 3 minutes.
She turns the TV on, and Belgravia boat? And he's like, I washed your boots and your cape. Get on out there.
And it's like, okay, I like these characters, and they're so important, but they're in it for, like, 3 minutes.
And they released... They made the best, like, remake of the Great Responsibility line, and it's not even a Superman movie. It's not even a Spider-Man movie. Yeah, what was it? It was he's like all depressed because his parents sent him to like conquer Earth. And he goes,
Can we, before you say that, that's new.
That was so interesting.
The way that they did it. Because it's always like, oh, they sent him to Earth to protect humanity. Or like just to save him from blowing up Krypton. But it's like, no.
They're like nefarious activities.
They had nefarious ideas. I kind of liked it. That was originally took me off guard, but I was like, that is such a unique way to take it.
It's also a nice way to imbue Superman with this sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
But then
he's not just doing this out of obligation. He's doing it because...
For a reason. And he has this nice scene with Pa Kent where he goes, you know, it's not what you were born into. It's your actions that define you, right? And then he goes and he saves like 85,000 people from a black hole. Like, also, the scene in the like pocket universe, that was
honestly,
so cool.
Honestly, that's a bit that kind of lost me.
I liked it
with the pocket universe. I like how everybody was like in those cages and stuff. But when the bit where he's saving ugly CGI baby, I didn't really like it that much.
But I think it's more metaphorical than it is actually. It's kind of like the...
And it felt kind of like segmented, like, oh, there's this 30-minute segment where in the pocket universe. And it didn't really feel like... connected to the rest of the
movie. But it is always going to be a sci-fi movie, and I think that makes more sense for a superhero film.
Yeah, I like...
Because it's a way of grounding it, so it doesn't feel like a fantasy, but it's still zany enough that it's, you know...
What's his name? The guy who works at the Daily Planet, oh my god.
Oh, Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy, who's one of the most like popular characters of the comics, is like barely in this thing. Not that he's barely in it. I don't think he talks to... Clark Kent, like, once?
He talks to him a bit.
But no, I don't think he... He does. I think he says, like, five once.
He talks about Clark, and obviously he tries to save Clark's life. And there's this... I think the idea that Jimmy Olsen, who in the comics is just an absolute loser, who, like, works at Daily Planet, is now this playboy who all the girls are after him. And she's
funny.
Like,
that's just
you've
got to
spend a weekend with me. And he's like, ugh, a whole weekend. And like, he's just this guy.
That was quite funny.
And you go through his phone contacts and he's scrolling for like 2 minutes going through it. And he finds her name and her name's like Weird Feet or something. Like, it's funny and it works.
That is.
And it's changing him enough that it's not the same Superman story.
Yeah. Lois Lane. She had stuff to do instead of just being like...
Going into this film, I wasn't sure about it. I'd only seen like... I didn't know how much she looked like Lois Lane, but honestly, she put herself into
she
it.
Does, she does. She look, works. Like, look at the original,
she's
like,
she's a unique
actress,
take.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like the idea.
I like that she's doing stuff instead of just being,
she stands up to
like,
Superman.
Yeah.
She's like, you're not going to, you know. And also that scene where there's, like, this random alien in the air, and that she's like, were you helping them? He's like, no, that's just a dimensional sprite. Who cares?
But that shot is so cool.
That shot is very cool.
No, the shot at the end where they kiss and like in the...
And they're flying.
That is good.
I think ultimately the movie...
It's got like such a good feeling of like...
What the movie aimed for.
It's one of the most good feeling movies.
While there's flaws, obviously there's flaws in it.
Yeah, I feel they're just jumping there.
If it was going for hope,
they nailed it. I haven't seen that in a long time.
I left that film...
Yeah.
Feeling amazing.
Yeah,
that was
I really did.
That was a great, you know, if its aim was to create hope Superman after whatever the hell happened with Henry Cavill Superman.
Which we're not gonna get.
You have done that. You have launched Superman, who was, the interest in was dwindling.
Yeah.
In straight back into the mainstream.
Well,
for 5 days after that, all I could see on social media was Superman.
That's the weird
thing. Punk rocker, Iggy Pop, everything was just Superman. And it's done what Spider-Man being in the MCU did, where it shot back into relevance.
Shot that, and I think Thor Ragnarok as well. If you look at that,
yeah,
that
and
one
Guardians,
as well.
Like he's brought himself
basically
Superman,
just like
and the feeling of hope.
Yeah,
hope. Superheroes doing, you know, hopeful things. Like,
yeah, he is saving the DC.
He's saving. No, I'd say he's saving superhero movies.
Yeah, that like.
You have
been dying for the last 5 years.
Like, Marvel is killing itself.
It's dead.
Slowly.
But here's the weird thing. Like, box office-wise with this movie, it's done a little worse than I thought it was going to. Like, it's made, like, about, what was it, like, $600 million? Which isn't bad, but I think the budget was, like, $250. And I was reading, and apparently the reason why was that it's, like, Superman is a character who's so intrinsically tied to America.
The people,
that in a time where America isn't exactly the most popular of countries,
people, don't
people from like, especially like China or something like that, aren't going to it. The big markets aren't going to go see it.
But then even with that, I feel
that's
like...
That's why something like Jurassic World Rebirth is
I feel
more,
like they like, untied Superman from that American essence.
Yeah, they did.
He's not the all-American Superman that the comics say. He's, you know, the all-Earth Superman. Yeah. He's like...
But you wouldn't know that unless you see the movie, though.
But yeah, when you watch the movie, you know, yes, part of it is set in America, but the biggest amount of, like, saving that he focuses on is another country in the Middle East, which is a known, you know, not always on best terms with America.
Exactly.
And he's out there...
It's more pro-world than pro-America.
And he's even at odds with the American government.
I know, that's what I think. I was just thinking, like, okay, America isn't exactly put in, like, the best light in the movie, unlike the other ones.
You know, he's not all-American Superman. He's pro-Earth. Just being
and maybe that's
why
people had a problem with it. That it wasn't pro-America. You know, the woke mob was at it again.
But there was even like, you know, there's still Ma and Pa Kent. He's still an American man who grew up on a farm. But, you know.
That's still, that very American origin story is still there.
But he's not all-American Superman. He's not here, you know, saving them from the evil, like, I don't know, Russian
Chinese
bombers.
Government,
like,
or something like that.
He's saving people who aren't American.
Who just need help. People who need help.
When you see the people who around him in those scenes, you've got people from all over the world, like, who are inspired by him. You've got the guy who, on the cart selling peanuts.
Yeah.
He's an Indian man. You've got white Americans. You've got black Americans.
Everybody.
You've got Middle Eastern. Everyone is there. And everyone is, like, united by the Superman. And I think for a film that wants to do hope and unity in a film, I think it delivers that. It does that very well.
It does it very well. Like,
it's not a perfect movie.
My only concern is that, like, okay, where do we go from here? Like, for me, I thought it felt like if the Harry Potter series started with, like, the Prisoner of Azkaban or something like that. They just skip Chamber and Philosopher's Stone, just go straight to the bit where things get really serious. It just felt like, okay, we are plunked in the middle of this story. I would just like a bit more time to know these characters, because I like these characters.
I think he'll do a Guardians of the Galaxy kind of thing.
With Guardians of the Galaxy, they gave us three movies to properly get invested in these characters.
But in the first...
From the beginning to the end.
In the first movie, you're thrown into the Star-Lord story without really knowing about him. And he's not that well-known of a character. Like,
It's not like Superman.
That, like, the comics actually adapted to be more like James Gunn's Star-Lord than what he originally was. Like, originally he's in armor and he's kind of a, like, harder guy. They made him funny and musical, and that's something that wasn't, like, originally in the comics. He throws it in there and he brings in these other characters that he's also just throwing in the mix without really doing the backstory thing. I reckon he'll do something like that. We've had Superman. We'll get, you know, Green Lantern thrown in there. We'll probably have, you know, Supergirl. We'll probably be a more of a backstory movie, I think. Which will likely explore a bit Superman and
which I would like, because, like, I really do like these characters and I wish I just, like, got to know them better instead of just before being thrown into
all
this.
To be fair,
it
is the first movie. No one was invested in Guardians after the first movie.
Yeah, nobody would know. Like, I get the kind of thing where, like, okay, Guardians was this, like, comic book series that nobody read.
No one,
like,
really
no,
read.
No, but it wasn't, like, we're not talking Iron
Man
or something
like that.
It
had one TV show in 2012.
Did it? Oh, okay.
Wait, not even. I think that was after Guardians.
That has to be after. But, like,
the guys
not...
look a lot like the ones in...
Yeah, it'd have to be after. But, like, it's not like an Iron Man or something. Superman, I guess, is the kind of thing where, like, okay, how many times do people need to be told Superman's origin story? Let's just get to the bit that we want to. Which, on the one hand, I understand. But on the other hand, it's like, I just would have wanted to, like, get to know these characters more. Because they're good characters. And...
Yeah, it was a year after Guardians of the Galaxy came out.
Yes.
It was inspired by the
film. I'm
like, everything apparently ever Guardians just becomes what came from Gunn.
Oh, that makes sense. But, like...
And also, what I like is he's picked some famous actors that he's worked with before and some people, like, no one's ever really heard of.
It was quite an inspired choice to take.
Like, Rachel Brosnan.
Yeah.
Brosnan basically... I don't know her other than from this film.
I think David Corenswire had only done Twisters
famously, and he was
not really famously. How many people went to go see that?
I went to see that. And
okay, good for you.
And he saw.
I mean, it's fine. I didn't really like it.
He was in one other famous movie. I can't remember. It was like it might have been Lincoln or something. I can't remember. I'll check. But you know, there were these relatively unknown people,
which is what they did with the first Superman as well.
That just they've
you know.
Oh, he's in Pearl from A24. Which he has quite a major role. He's Pearl's boyfriend.
Oh, really?
And he's, I think it was a show called Hollywood or something that he was famous for, secondly. not really that much, very famous.
Yeah, yeah. That's the kind of weird thing. It's the opposite of Batman, where like when they do Batman, they get the big actors. It's like Michael Keaton, then you get Christian Bale, then you get Robert Pattinson.
By the way, Robert Pattinson is on a crazy run. He's on a crazy film run.
Really? Like, after Mickey 17, things are getting better for him?
I liked Mickey 17.
No, I'm just talking about like commercially wise.
Yeah,
like,
he did the Batman.
Okay.
He did Mickey 17.
Okay.
He's got The Odyssey coming out. He's got, and I think it's just, not just Scott Stealing. He's got two other movies coming out in 2026. No, that's Austin Butler. It's The Odyssey, and he's in Dune Part 3 as well. And he's going to be in, I think, an A24 movie. That's a run of films. Yeah. That is, and that's only in between 4 years. And The Batman 3 as well. Good Within 4 years, he's made a run of...
Not even Mickey 17 can kill
2022 all the way. Mickey 17 I liked. It's misunderstood, I think. I personally really liked it. But that's something for another episode.
But it's like, I like how the Superman...
Although it has the same kind of like zaniness to it that I kind of like.
But I like how like all the Superman movies, it's all just new actors.
Yeah, I think
compared
that's a good thing.
Compared to the Batman
thing.
One.
But I think
actors.
Batman requires that. Because the idea is Bruce Wayne is this like famous billionaire, right?
Yeah.
And by bringing in someone you already are familiar with, you get that kind of impact from Bruce Wayne.
But there's, I feel there's always so much more controversy when it comes to casting Batman.
Yeah, than Superman.
You know, I think that's basically happened with every single Batman, like, who's ever been casted. There's been controversy around that.
Yeah, but like, you look at the Nolan series, he's supposed to be definitely a billionaire in that movie, like, not reserved at all, famous, flashy. And you bring in an actor that is well known at the time, and, you know, you feel like you already know him, and that, that like, kind of, I don't know the word for it, the, like, I don't know, pumpiness of the character,
is
deserved.
Yeah, with Superman, I don't know.
Superman is supposed to be a guy you don't eat, your everyday, normal guy.
I know.
Who's this symbol of
Yeah, a guy you have to look at him and you have to go,
a guy
okay,
you meet on
this
the
is
street.
A guy I would meet on the street, but at the same time, I believe this is a guy who could fly and be like a hero.
Yes, and Corin Sweat does that,
I think. It's not an easy job to pull off, but it's a job they do in this movie, and
it's a good representation. Like, in my opinion, the Batman with Robert Pattinson is a good representation of Batman.
Did you ever hear that?
And what he's supposed to be.
James Gunn is planning on having his own Batman, so like...
He says that. I have the feeling, because I think it would be hilarious.
It'd be funny.
This Superman who's like, oh, shucks. And then you've got this Batman who's like brooding and like... in the shadows.
I know.
And when you look at the comics, you'll have the same artists doing Dark Batman and this Batman who hangs out with Superman. And it works still.
That's cool, but it's like, okay.
But I think realistically he will have to have his own Batman.
No, because we already have the DCU, which already consists of
Batman is a standalone.
Ben Affleck Batman. It also concerns like Michael Keaton Batman as well. And it's like, okay, we don't need that. Just have the Batman be in the same universe as the James Gunn ones. That's all you need. Okay.
It's just dangerous, yeah. I think, because then you're infringing styles is the only thing. Because
they're two very different
Matt
styles.
Matt Reeves has a Fincher style. Yeah. And you look at James Gunn.
He's going for more of a Richard Donner, like Superman
and
thing.
And it's a bit it's dangerous to mix the two. Because I don't know
how they would do it.
You don't
and this is a fault of the DC Universe for just not thinking anything through for the past 15 years.
You don't want to taint either film because they're both really good. So I don't know. I think realistically he will have to cast his own Batman. Because the Batman universe is kind of its own thing with the Penguin and Batman 1 and 2.
It's just a vibe. It's got two very different vibes.
The only thing I hope he does with the Clayface movie is that James Gunn is planning a Clayface movie. I hope he consults Matt Reeves on that. And that maybe we can then have, if the two Batmans never, the Batman and Superman never cross directly, or at least for a long time, hopefully
maybe
Clayface
it's the kind of thing where like they can have like different universes. Because
that's
what they actually did in The Flash.
But the same villains, if you want.
Yeah, but that's what they did in The Flash. There was Ben Affleck, there was Michael Keaton, there's actually Batman and Robin, George Clooney in that one as well. But like they can kind of do that kind of thing with different universes, you know, like because it's really messy right now. So I feel that if you're not, it's a bit hard to mix the Batman and the new Superman together. So I feel the best thing that you can do is just like, okay, maybe just have it in another universe or try your best at actually mixing.
I think it'd be hard to mix them.
It'd be hard
if they pull it off though. It would be like the cinematic event of the year.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool. be better than whatever Batman versus Superman was.
Batman versus, it just, they took...
I'm not even going to lie. When that battle scene they had with each other, I was all there for it. Because it's not a good movie, but it's cool seeing Batman and Superman fight. I'm sorry. Like,
it's like when you watch Jurassic Park 3 and they just get a massive incorrect Spinosaurus fighting a T-Rex. Objectively,
how did it kill the T-Rex? How did it kill the T-Rex?
As a male
though?
Audience, objectively awesome.
That how is that possible? How did that kill the T-Rex?
Like
how
watching,
did it kill the T-Rex?
That's like watching a Mustang and a Chevrolet.
But
race.
No, it's the same thing in Jurassic Park 2, where it's like, okay, you have this T-Rex that's just like destroying San Francisco. It's stupid, but my God. It is a
cool?
sight to see.
Or like,
that is cool.
In Jurassic World, you see a small raptor, the underdog, fight a T-Rex who gets eaten by a Mosasaurus.
Okay, by that point, I'm kind of like, okay, I've seen this done 3 times.
Yeah, but
I
it's,
don't
it's
care
objectively
anymore.
Pretty
but
awesome.
Apparently the rest of the world cares because that thing made like 900 million.
But back to Superman.
But not a billion, so we could be done. We could be done.
What
we could
are we
be
gonna,
done.
What are we going to... You know,
oh, I'm giving it 4 out of 5 stars. It is.
I'm giving it 5, so we set on a nice...
You said it's not perfect.
It's not perfect, but my rating, albeit weird, is I either want a film to be perfect for 5 or to do something really out there and have really, like, nailed the brief.
I just love the fact...
It's not a perfect movie, but its brief was a hope movie that introduced Superman back to the world, and it nailed that brief, and I think it deserves the 5 just for being able to do that.
Yeah, I do like it's gone back to...
And
it's
James
Gunn
is
basics.
The only man who could have done that. Mm-hmm.
And I hope to see more superhero movies following in that fashion.
In that style.
Looking less to either copy Marvel Cinematic Universe or the Nolan trilogy, and just kind of like do their own thing.
I think the important thing that James Gunn has to nail here is that he needs to do it in the style of the hero, not the style of Superman.
I know.
Which is important. Because for a character like Green Lantern, for example, was in the Superman movie and he worked in the Superman movie, but you look at his like universe, they're making a show as well for Green Lantern. In the films, well, in the comics, he's a bit of a jerk. He's a jerk who got the ring by some weird, this version of Green Lantern at least. There's the other one that's really famous with the brown hair that Ryan Reynolds played.
Let's not talk about that.
He's supposed to be similar to Superman in that kind of hope way, but more on the side of justice than hope. This one, Nathan Fillion's version, is supposed to be a bit of a bum with like who accidentally got the ring, and that's why he's so cocky in the movie with the F-bombs and the flips and stuff. And I think that he needs to be careful not to make it too much like Superman and more for the character. I think.
Yeah.
And if he keeps doing it like that, then you're going to have a run of 5 or 10 brilliant superhero movies.
I know. Superhero movies.
Might not
along
be
with actually Fantastic Four First Steps.
Was that
it's like,
good? It's very mixed reviews I've heard.
But so. It's like it's doing its own thing, which I like. It feels unique. It doesn't just feel like something like Ant-Man or like Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, like the Marvel, something like that. Where I just feel, okay, this is the Marvel shtick again. I've seen this a billion times. The first steps, like, you know, a unique style, a unique... It's doing something different, which is something I respect. And after the failure of the Thunderbolts, it's kind of resting on their shoulders.
Although
to
the
save.
Thunderbolts was supposedly a good movie,
but obviously like it's and it's just it didn't make any money, so like nothing really is coming from that. Think of it as another Eternals at this point, really.
Eternals was bad.
Yeah,
but that's like deservedly terrible.
Yeah,
as I feel like Thunderbolts apparently.
I'm probably the first person to ever mention the Eternals ever since it came out because
my brother had a Lego set for it. I think.
Ew.
It's not great. That being said, the CGI was pretty awesome in the film. The CGI was good, but everything else sucked. And you can't really get a good rating off just CGI.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just well-written and kind of poorly acted, I'll give you, like, a 3. Mm-hmm. If it's just you got cool CGI and everything else sucks, I'm sorry, man, but you get a 2.
Like...
Not even, maybe...
Yeah.
But thank you for listening. I hope we didn't spoil it for you. Please, if you haven't, go see it. Watch it in cinemas. Or,
is it out of cinemas at this point?
Or at least have a big
screen. It might be on like digital or something.
Have a big screen. Yeah. Get your friends together. Get some good musical stuff.
And watch, and you know, go back and watch the old Superman movies.
And go watch the Christopher Reeve.
At least the first two. I don't think you need to touch the other three. Okay? The other two. But yeah. 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 Unless you want some funny, meme-worthy moments. Yeah.
Right. Well, thanks for listening. I've been Eddie.
I've been Noah.
And, yeah, we're back.
Yeah.